This is Power Podcast UK with Jenny and Mark.
We're writing a book and we're having a tough time getting it done. If you find it hard to motivate yourself to do something, this is the podcast for you as we explore why we procrastinate and find ways to help us get our book finished.
Whether or not you're writing a book, making a film, painting a picture, or even motivating yourself to do the housework, join us. Let's find a way to get this stuff done. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of POW Podcast UK, Procrastinate All Right. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Awesome.
Awesome today. So today we're going to talk a little bit about perception and how people's perception of you and how your perception of yourself can be something that could cause you to procrastinate or something that can motivate you to stop procrastinating. It's all tied up in the same lovely bubble.
I love a bubble.
You love a bubble. I love a bubble. I started thinking about this when I was talking to someone. I won't say their name because they said I wasn't allowed to talk about it. and they won't listen, but I will be nice and I will not say. And they were talking about how, because they write and they create things, and they were thinking about basically whatever they're doing, they're worried that they're not doing enough to get the approval of their parents. Their thought is all the time in their head, is this enough? Is this what, you know, my parents paid me to go to uni and study these things? Is this enough for them? Am I doing enough? Are they proud of me? And I thought that was a really interesting way, because I think that that ties into a fear of failure. And I think it's that's something that holds you back and sort of scares you from achieving a lot, because in one way you want to do well to impress them and make all of their sacrifices worthwhile. But in the other way, you're scared because whatever you do, you could disappoint them. So you end up not doing anything. What do you think?
I think it's a really huge thing to talk about and to think about, which could... I think you need to really understand what makes the person, the other person, proud, and what makes them think enough is. Otherwise, it just sounds like mental torture. Because I know a lot of parents that want their children to do well, and doing well often means earning enough money to get by, or being independent and having a good job. And a good job can often mean earning the money that you want to earn. And so I think it can be easy for a creative to put whatever it was, say someone went to university to study writing, for example, and when they left university, they weren't writing. I can see, and I have seen, people that will just fall for a well-paid job that isn't creative because it pays the bills, it pays back their student loans, it pays back the money that their parents lent them or gave them to go to university in the first place. And so they make a sacrifice without necessarily realizing they're making sacrifice to not endeavor down their creative paths and to just follow the money, because in today's world, if you have money, then that means that you are happy in inadverted commas, because obviously happiness doesn't always equal money. But I think for the person that you're trying to please, providing that money is a way of measuring how well they're doing. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. It's difficult.
Do you think it's a lot to do with sort of unrealistic expectations as well? So not everyone can be the best at everything. Not everyone's going to have a best-selling book. Not everyone's going to be, you know, BAFTA nominated. Not everyone's going to be critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to be a partner at the business. And I think, do you think people just sort of grab onto that fixation with being the best without actually thinking of the reality of it?
I think people maybe impose their standards onto other people's expectations. So, and what I mean by that is, for example, for me, let's talk about the animation that I was doing, because I think that seems like a sensible analogy for me to use. For me, success as an animator means working on a TV show that wins an award, because by winning an award, it says to the world, this is a good show. Or working for a studio that wins an award, because it says to everyone around you, my studio wins awards, therefore it's a good studio and I am in a good job. So my perception of success in animation might be those things. I don't think it necessarily is, but it could be a qualifiable thing, such as winning awards. Whereas to my parents, or to Chris, or to you, or to anyone, people that aren't in that field might not necessarily know that awards equal a good show, equal a good studio. They just might think, love watching the animations you produce. And for them, that is successful because you're producing really fun things that I like to watch.
It was lovely seeing your name on the screen. That was really fun.
People say that. People say that to me. But to me, it was exciting the first time you see it. But after a while, after the first time you've seen it, then that moment, it's not exciting anymore.
Exciting to see your name. I will always be excited. If you were doing so every week, I would still be excited to see your name. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I watched something actually on CBeebies. It popped up as an alert on an episode that I worked on. I watched it and I saw my name at the end and I thought, huh, that's weird. I just thought it was weird. It was...
I think also you don't realise the sort of ripple effect, because it's nice for me to watch something with Hector that you've worked on, and then it makes him think about jobs that he can do. And he's quite interested in animation and graphic design. And he wants to do games because he's a big old gamer now. But it's that insight, that link, that knowing that you can do it, that you wouldn't even know about. It could be loads of people could be talking about to their kids or to their friends and stuff. And you don't know that impact that you're having.
But
by being someone who's done something.
Yeah, and I would never consider that either. It would never enter my mind unless someone told me. And so I would just be looking at like the award thing as a little signal. Oh, this is good. This is award.
That is your recognition. You've done well. You've got an award. That is what you want.
Yeah. And so I wonder if, we've just proved that you don't think about awards at all. You think about the impact it has on your family and the people around you and enjoying seeing a credit on the end of a TV show, for example, whereas that just doesn't enter into my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if when we're thinking about disappointing people and what their perceptions of you is, if it's completely skewed to the fact where you're imposing your own qualifiers onto them.
And you're always harsher on yourself than anyone else.
Yeah.
Very true. And that came up when I was talking to unnamed person. Because I have a child and I would never, unless, you know, Hector, I don't know, kicked kittens for fun or started a drugs ring or, you know, became a pirate. There's not much he could do to disappoint me. I was just happy. I would be happy whatever he did as long as he was happy.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think secure, not rich, but living happily and comfortably.
Being able to afford a safe place to be and to exist and to thrive. Yeah.
But saying that, though, I will say that about Hector, but I will still have a thought in my head, the fact that I went to uni and I don't think I am using any of the stuff that I learned at uni. And I do think, you know, my mum and dad spent loads of money on me to go to uni, and I really, although the skills have come out and I am now writing every day and it's part of my job, is it enough? I don't know. But I've got that. And I know I wouldn't apply it to my own son, but I'll still apply it upwards.
But you've just demonstrated that it is enough, because you just said the things you did at university, you're doing every day now.
Yeah, but am I doing it enough?
You're doing it every day. So yes is the answer to that, Jenny.
I haven't won any awards. My name's not on the screen.
You just imposed one of my qualifiers onto yourself, which you don't need to do.
But it's terrible. I think other people, you are so... I think that's what they said. Well, a lot of the like the self-care stuff is like you need to treat yourself like your best friend would treat you, not how you're treating you. Because all we're doing is going, you should be doing this and this and this. But actually, your friends or your parents will turn around and go, no, it's fine. As long as you're happy.
Absolutely.
And we're happy too.
And can I just put a little sidebar in as well? I don't measure success on awards. I was just really using that as an example, specifically in animation. But awards are nice. Yeah. They're fun. But
it's all about awards.
That was just a nice example to relate to animation into the what I was talking about. But yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's such a huge topic, isn't it? And I think
it is.
I find it quite upsetting if people are constantly measuring themselves on other people's expectations, because you'll never ever feel satisfied, I think, because even if they say to you, you're my child, of course I'm proud of you, of course XYZ, if it's coming from your mind, you'll never be satisfied, because you always think, oh, but should I be doing this, and I need to be doing that, when in reality you probably don't. And
it's funny, isn't it? Well, do you think that would motivate you more, having that realization? Do you think you'd get more done without the crushing weight of other people's expectations? Or do you think you'll do less because you'd be more complacent?
I don't actually think it would affect my productivity, but I think it would definitely, well, and it does definitely affect my well-being and my mental health. 100%. But it's, I think you and I both know, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to how we perceive ourselves and what we're doing, and are we doing enough? Are we working well enough? Are we providing enough? What are we doing making a podcast? Why aren't we out there in a top corporate job? Why aren't we lawyers? Why aren't we solicitors? Why aren't we earning £1 million an hour?
Why isn't our podcast number one on iTunes? All these questions.
Well, it is, Jenny, it is. You just haven't noticed.
It depends what category.
It's like all these things. And it's just futile self beating up, isn't it? It's just,
yeah.
It's tricky. So I say to Chris all the time, do you think I'm doing enough? Am I providing enough? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And he just always says to me, you're doing great. This is what you're doing is good. You're thriving on what you're doing. Keep doing it. And so,
carry on.
That was it.
Do you think we both suffer from this a bit more because we've got quite high achieving partners? Who have got traditionally,
I think we're both privileged that in that respect. But
I don't mean the privileged sense, but I mean like Nick does very well at his job, Chris does very well at his job, and their jobs are more traditional, more defined. Job titles and roles, whereas we are a bit
more recognizable,
fluid and creative.
If you say to anyone on the street, oh, this person does this, they'd recognize that as a good career.
But I'm freelance, I do this and this, it's not as like I do this.
So many
this
people
is my
say
company to, car, you know, like that.
So many people say to me, what do you do? And I say, well, I kind of do projects. I freelance. I do this, and I also do that. Oh, and I do this. I don't know what my job title is. We had to recently sort some insurance out, and it had that drop down. What is your job? And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what to put, because it's actually really fluid. One day I'm doing is printmaking. The other day, I'm working in a theatre. The next day, I'm doing some voluntary work.
Mm.
Next morning, I'm editing a podcast.
Sounds amazing.
It's constantly changing, and it's so different. Yeah. Sorry, where are we going with that? I just kind of went off on a bit of a tangent about.
It's okay.
About expectations, but
writing something down. I think having. Not having a job which is easily recognisable doesn't help us know when we've achieved things.
But also,
we're working for ourselves. We're never going to get promoted.
But also having that...
Unless we promote ourselves.
Having that weird in nondescript job title as well is playing into people's... The fear from us is, and I think the person that you're talking to, is that it's not enough because it isn't recognisable as... Oh, well, you're doing this, therefore that means that in my mind you are doing well. It's the vagueness worries us that people don't understand the hard work that we're doing, maybe.
But then, alternatively, you speak to people about what you do, they'll go, oh my God, that sounds amazing. You've got the freedom. So it's that really weird balance. Anyway, I think it's probably time to regroup for a little break.
Let's have a break.
We'll come back and I'll invade your psyche even more with more stuff.
After the break, we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome.
Yes. Good. It links in quite nicely, actually.
So, I got some things to say. Enjoy.
Oh, lovely.
Enjoy the break, everyone. It's a lovely break.
Bye.
These are the best breaks ever. Take care. See you later. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Did you know that if you like anything we talked about on the podcast, any books or films, we always put links on our show notes so you can go through to Amazon and have a look and maybe buy them if you fancy them.
You can find all our show notes at padpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. So find the link for the thing that we talked about that you thought, aha, oh, that sounds really good. I need to find out more information. Click on that link, it will take you through to Amazon and they will furnish you with all the information you need about it. The full descriptions, different formats. So whatever it is, whether or not it's a film, a book, go for it. Find all those links. Knock yourself out. Find more information.
Hey, if you've got Prime, you can have it the next day.
What a service. And if you have Prime, that means you can watch films and TV and stuff as well on your TV, which is really, really good.
That is very good, actually. Guys, go do it.
Have a look at all the information that we are servicing you with and that we are improving your lives by directing you to this literature or this film. Isn't that right, Jenny?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is definitely what we do. Also, buy some dog food. Hello, everybody. We're back for part two. Woo!
Part two of episode 20.
Part two. Today, we're talking about perception and expectations and imposter syndrome, which we haven't really come onto yet. And imposter syndrome is when... Would you say it's just when you feel like you don't belong? You feel like a bit of a fraud. You shouldn't be somewhere. You don't feel like you're the people that surround you. You don't think you're worthy to be there. It happens quite a lot. It happens, Mark. I've done some research. 70% of people have experienced imposter syndrome at some point.
That is a lot of people.
70%.
Gosh, I haven't ever really thought about it on a numbers level like that.
It's a lot of people. It's mainly women. But I think actually now they say because of the way of the world and how we're working and stuff, it's a bit more even now. But more likely to be. It's every woman. It made me think about it because it's something you said you experienced lately, if you don't mind talking about it.
Yeah. Very recently, actually, a couple of weeks ago. We talked about my... at the autumn print show.
Yeah.
So I very recently joined, I've only been a member for a couple of months now, of York Printmakers, which have quite a big reputation in York for quality and for professionalism. And it's on a lot of people's radar as a very professional organisation that create very high quality print work. And I was, because I'm a member, I was at the autumn show and I had some of my work there. And some of the work there is incredible. It's really, really amazing. And I was like, oh, geez, I don't know if I fit in here. I knew I did. And everyone is absolutely lovely. So it's absolutely nothing to do with what anyone said or done or made me feel. It's just all in my mind. I just felt, well, my stuff is not as good enough to stand next to this person's work. Because... there's someone here who's, you know, in their 60s, they're retired and they've been doing printmaking their whole entire life. And their work has been in many, many international exhibitions. And here's me, I've only been doing it this year, right next to them. Yet to the public that came in, they saw no difference obviously they saw the difference in the work, but they saw no difference in the calibre of the work that was produced. But to me, in my mind, the whole time was, I'm not good enough to be here. I don't think I should be here. I felt so welcome there because the whole group is just absolutely lovely. They're such a nice group of people and they're very encouraging and very welcoming. And they like my work. Yet, it's one of those things where I feel like if we were all Pokemon, I would definitely be a very small one, and they would be like the big legendary Pokemons. Yeah, I'd be a tiny, tiny, tiny one, and they would be like the legendaries that everyone wants in their collection. That's how I. That was kind of how I felt. That was how I felt. Yeah, so that was my very recent imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I think it ties in again to these perception things and also how unmotivating it is. But also, actually, I did some research on imposter syndrome, and it actually can be quite motivating, but in a negative way.
Right.
So I looked online and I found there's 5 different types of imposter syndrome, apparently.
5?
Apparently.
Jeezy, crazy.
I mean, I only saw this on one page. It might not be like the truth, but I thought it was interesting. So
this might not be the truth, but it's interesting.
Well, you know, one person's ripped down the internet. It might not be gospel. But Valerie Young. I think it's been in time.com. So, you know. There's 5 different types of five different types of imposter syndrome. So one time is like perfectionist. You set yourself high goals, you control freak, and you've got a lot of self-doubt. Super person is when you push yourself harder, just keep going and going and going. You want to measure up to everyone else. You don't think you're good enough and you keep going and going, working all the time. Natural genius is where you think it's abilities but not effort. So you think that everything you do, if you're not good at it straight away, if you have to work hard at it, you're not very good at it. So you think you're only there on your natural abilities, not that you've worked hard. A rugged individualist is someone who doesn't ask for help, refuses assistance. And then the expert thinks they've tricked everyone and they don't like it when they get called an expert because they don't think they're worthy of the title.
So they think they're an imposter if they get called an expert?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I feel that though. People say, oh, what do you think about you? You're a social media expert. I go, oh, not really. It's my job. I do it every day. But I really don't think, I still don't think I'm any good at it. So I think it's like different types of not feeling. Not just not feeling that you're there where you should be, it's also how you deal with it. So if you're feeling like you've got an imposter syndrome and you're a perfectionist, you'll keep striving and striving, setting really high goals and controlling everything so nothing goes wrong. Or if you're a super person, you'll just keep working and working and working, never stopping, never having a break, you know, working really late hours. And if like you're a individualist, you'll never ask for help. You'll just keep going and going without drawing from other people. So it's how you deal with it as well as the type of person you are. Does that make sense?
It does. It's I don't know where we all fall. So you think you fall into the expert?
I think it would be hard to say I'm definitely this, I'm definitely that. I think there's definite traits from each one. I think saying there's 5 types is a bit but I think she's pulled out 5 different parts of it, I think. So I think definitely do I like asking for help? I'm not great at it. I will just carry on until I fall over without asking for help.
Yeah, I think I'm all right asking for help. I think maybe ask for too much help and I start annoying people. I don't know. So my experience of being at the print show, I felt like I shouldn't have been there. I felt really inspired to the point of having an overwhelming amount of ideas of the things I can do next, and the things I want to do next, and seeing someone's work and thinking, oh, I want to try that, oh, how did you do that? I want to do that. And I'm left with so many ideas that I don't know which one to go with and which one to focus my time on. I think maybe in an effort to prove that I am worthy to be there.
Yeah. So you're trying to take up everyone's ideas and apply them so you can
demonstrate why I should
feel worthy. So are you pushing yourself harder to measure up?
Yeah.
You could be a super person.
Super person. I could be Superman.
But I'm a superman stroke woman, but I've made it super person.
Super person. I feel like I am pushing myself, but I'm pushing myself, I think, psychologically. Not necessarily like spending all day, every day working on prints because I've got other things to do as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's that in my mind races and my mind is racing to prove worth in that area. But I think I've always been like that, though, to be honest, Jenny, in all the different things I've tried.
Well, yeah.
Proving my worth. And
you do work very hard at everything.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I don't see it like that, but maybe other people do. And maybe my...
Well, you've got about 3 or 4 different careers on the go, so, you know.
I suppose.
Quite
but,
a bit.
But in my mind, it's not like that. But I suppose when you put it like that, it does sound like I work hard, but in my mind, I'm just working. I'm not, you know, I'm very happy. I'm not working 24 hours a day every day. I'm working a sensible amount. I'm not burning myself out or anything, but maybe other people, if things like I am doing a lot, I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky.
It's tricky. I'm just moving my mic around because I'm right in the sun. It's really annoying.
So you are. You've turned into a big white mass of sunlight.
Well, this Valerie Young, she also came up with ways to combat it. Whatever you're feeling, however you're feeling. So for someone like the perfectionist, success is rarely satisfying. You need to start learning to celebrate your achievements.
Ah.
Rewards again, like we talked about last episode. You see mistakes as a natural part in the process. But for a super person, such as yourself, Mark, validation comes from working, not the outcomes. You need to veer away from external validation and nurture your inner confidence.
Gosh, that is really true.
Do you think so?
Yeah, say that again, say that again, say that again.
So, your validation comes from working, not the outcomes. You need to veer away from external validation and nurture your inner confidence. So less of the people going, yeah, you're great, and just knowing inside.
But maybe that's why I do so many different things.
Would you be looking for the external validation?
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, gosh.
It's like a psychological podcast at the moment. Come to us, look into your soul.
Oh dear.
I like the natural genius one, the one that you know, you don't think it's, you think you should do it straight away. You shouldn't have to put any effort in. You need to see yourself as a work in progress. You need to accept mistakes as part of the process.
Mm.
I like that one. What other ones are there? I think the main thing she said was to nurture this inner confidence and set priorities for what you want to achieve out of it. And I think that's a lot to do with what we talked about before the break as well. It's setting the priorities when you're about not letting people down, people's perception of you. If you set your own priorities and are quite clear about what you want to achieve from life, you'll worry less about external validation and less about what that means, and that will affect your work less. So you can get on with it.
Hmm. Gosh, we're getting deep here, Jen.
I think this is what Jerry Springer would say at the end of an episode. And there's no shame in asking for help. That's something else I pulled out. That's if you're an expert. Yeah. Oh, no, then I looked at something else. I've done so much research. I found another article and it said that you should name your imposter syndrome. You should give these little inner voices in your head, little characters, and talk back to them. So if you're in somewhere and a little voice in your head says, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, they've been doing printing for 30 years. You should go back and go in your head, go, I'm worthy. They asked me to be here. I'm really good. My work is fresh and interesting.
Do you know what, Jen? Jen, what? I used to do that. I used to do that.
Really?
When I was in the studio, me, and Chloe, we named our inner voices, our inner saboteurs. I can't remember what mine was called now because it was all gone. Really? It was so at that time. I think mine was called Beryl. And, and
why did you call it Beryl? All the Beryls.
Just called it Beryl. And I'd say to Chloe, Beryl's doing my head in today. And
sweet.
The inner voices in my head. And I can't remember what hers was called. I think it was like Arthur or something like that. And we named those voices.
There you go. Ooh.
Yeah, so maybe we need to name... Maybe I need a different character, a different one for my printy stuff and my marketing things.
I think it's important for us as well, because when we're writing, I think I feel the pressure that it should be like really good. And actually... It doesn't have to be perfect. it can just be something that we've written, like, because obviously we sent it out now as well to people to have a look at the first chapter.
It's in the wild.
I feel quite a lot of tension about that, but then because I think that it should be perfect, but it shouldn't. For what it's a pretty much a first draft.
Also,
you know, it's all personal, and this is something we've worked on, and it doesn't have to be, you know, Man Booker Prize stuff.
No,
it's just fun, and I think that's, I get caught up in that because I think it has to be perfect, and actually, if we're having fun and this is what we want to do, and our priority is writing with each other and having fun, then what else is there to achieve?
Yeah, and I think as well, I think in terms of achieving, it's again putting other people's perceptions before your own and before your own desires for the outcome. So with the book, I'd just be so delighted and chuffed when we actually finish and we have a book in our hands, and then whatever happens with it, great. You know, people might like it, people might not, but on our shelves will be one of our books. And for me, that's enough. That's great. That's something I'm visualizing and looking forward to.
That's true. Oh God, we've gone so deep today, Mark. I don't know how we can. Oh my God! Do you remember we used to drink gin and just drink gin all the time? It's gone very deep.
Oh dear. Well, I think that kind of rounds up today's episode. Would you say?
I think so. I think we've gone through all of it. Anyone, if you have any questions or comments or anything else interesting we could have a look at, then please let us know. You can get hold of us at powpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Yep,
that's it, because I don't have it in front of me.
Or you can tweet us.
Twitter or Instagram or Facebook us. It's all powpodcastuk. We're all very easy to get hold of, and we love talking to you.
And you can go straight to our website, which is powpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. And you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, you can find us on Stitcher, you can find us on Acast, you can find us on iHeartRadio. We are everywhere. Can't find us on SoundCloud, though. We are everywhere.
We are everywhere. But if you're listening to us, then you've already found us. So tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Hey, why not leave us a review?
Say, how you feel about your perception of self and how it affects your work and others. Hey, have you thought about that? No, you're not listening to Power Podcast UK. Yeah. That is what you should say to your friends.
We're providing a service. You're welcome.
So we're coming back next time. We're going to talk about the feedback that we're looking forward to getting from our first chapter, which will be really exciting.
Hopefully.
So, yeah.
And we're just bracing ourselves for a barrage of abuse. Mark and Jenny, this is the worst thing I've ever read ever. What is this?
No, I think it'd be worse if it's super polite. Going, I really enjoyed it. what's your best bit? I think you tried really hard. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Those are the best reviews, aren't they? Good effort.
Lovely. Oh, it's been so nice, Mark. I will see you next time.
See you next time. See you later, guys. Love you lots.
Bye, guys. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Find all our show notes and links on our website, powpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. Or you can email us at powpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @powpodcastuk.
Please give us a like and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.